It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and usually on this day we read from the Rock Cliff Review, the bulletin that we pass out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. But today I'm going to read from a religious publication called the Carolina Messenger. Now, you can have this publication sent free to your home. And I'm going to give you that address in just a moment, and also a website where you may read the articles in this publication. The editor of the Carolina Messenger is not in the Carolinas. Now, he was for a while. In fact, this paper was started as a paper to be distributed in North and South Carolina. But it has grown in popularity and goes far beyond that now. The editor of this is John Mitchell. He's actually in Tennessee. He's a near neighbor. He is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and preaches at the East Main Street Church of Christ there in Murfreesboro. And he asked me to write an article for this publication about the purpose of Paul's epistle to Titus. And I'm going to read that in just a moment. But there's two things I want to give you. One, an address. Did you get your pencil ready? An address you can write to receive this publication. St. Andrews Road, Church of Christ, 425 St. Andrews Road, Columbia, South Carolina, 29210. And let me give you the website, because you can read this whole publication there at the website. It is easy to remember. www.carolinamessenger.net. That's CarolinaMessenger, all without any spaces, .net. And so you can pull the website up and read the publication, and I think you can subscribe to it from there if you'd like a hard copy sent to your home. But now let me read this to you. The purpose of Paul's epistle to Titus. Paul wrote Titus to instruct him and to encourage him to set things in order in the churches of Crete, but also to empower him to do so. Paul stated his purpose in Titus 1 and verse 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. Titus had proven himself to be a reliable partner and helper. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 23. There's no mention of Titus in the book of Acts, but Luke's treatise provides us the historical context of what we know about the man. We do not read of Titus in Acts chapter 11 when the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, but he appears to have been one of those early converts of Paul from among the Gentiles. Paul calls him mine own son after the common faith, Titus 1 and verse 4. Titus is not mentioned when the apostles and elders gathered in Jerusalem to discuss circumcision in Acts chapter 15. But Titus was there as Paul's example of an uncircumcised Christian, Galatians 2, 1 through 5. Titus would have had to have had a good reputation among the brethren to have filled this role. We do not read of Titus in Luke's account of Paul's work with the churches at Corinth, but Titus is mentioned 9 times by name in Paul's letter to those churches that we call 2 Corinthians, in those epistles that we call 1 and 2 Corinthians. Corinth was noted for its worldliness, idolatry, and immorality. It is not surprising that the problems in the Corinthian culture had found their way into these young churches. The involvement of Titus in dealing with these problems at Corinth would prepare him for his commission in Crete. Before Rome, before the Greeks, even before the age of Homer, the ancient Cretans had been the vanguards of civilization in the Mediterranean. In their golden age, their culture had spread to the islands and shores of the Aegean Sea. Internal conflict between their cities had crippled their advancement, and their island had become overcome by the culture of the Greeks and the armies of Rome. When the gospel came to Crete, the prosperity of the island was the result of the influx of Greeks, Romans, and Jews into their larger cities. The culture of the native population had been long degraded. Paul wrote to Titus, "One of them own selves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies,'" Titus 1 and verse 12. And then he added, "This witness is true," verse 13. The Cretans needed the gospel, and often it is the most desperate who are the most receptive. As in Corinth, so in Crete, the problems in the culture found their way into the churches. The Gentile persuasion works for some. Gentle persuasion works for some. But when it came to these Cretans, Paul told Titus, "Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." We do not know how the gospel first came to Crete. There were Jews from Crete in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 11. Perhaps some of those were among the 3,000 who were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and perhaps they were ones who had carried the gospel to Crete upon their return home. Somewhere along the way, the Cretans had also been taught Jewish fables, Titus 1 and verse 14. Paul sailed close by Crete on his voyage to Rome. His ship made a brief stop at Fair Havens near the city of Lycia, Acts 27, 8 through 15. But there is no mention of Paul preaching on the island. It appears that Paul again visited Crete after his first Roman imprisonment. He found the churches disorderly and wanting and decided to leave Titus on the island to set things in order. Paul wrote with authority to Titus, calling him a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, Titus 1 and verse 1. His letter is filled with authoritative words, "According to the commandment of God our Savior, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city, by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers, whose mouths must be stopped. Wherefore rebuke them sharply. Speak the things that become sound doctrine, sound speech that cannot be condemned. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be no brawlers. These things I will that thou affirm constantly. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject." We might ask why Paul emphasized his authority to Titus, who would not have questioned it, and why he followed it up with forceful language. I suggest that though this was a personal letter to Titus, it was also an epistle that was written to be read publicly. Those who heard would understand the authority under which Titus was acting. It was a letter instructing Titus and admonishing him, but it was also an epistle empowering him. Any Cretan questioning Titus's authority to do what he was doing in the churches would need only to consult this letter of commission that Titus had received from the Apostle Paul. Rightly divided, Paul's letter to Titus continues to empower preachers and teachers of the gospel. When we speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, Titus 2:15, we're not speaking with authority intrinsic to ourselves, but with the authority imparted by the Word of God. Whenever there are things in the churches that are wanting, need to be set in order, need rebuke, need to be taught, should be remembered, need to be affirmed, or that should be avoided, the man of God has this letter of commission from the Apostle Paul, the epistle to Titus empowers us to preach the word. Well, that's the article that was written in the Carolina Messenger. Let me give you again the address where you can subscribe to this. It's the St. Andrews Road Church of Christ, 425 St. Andrews Road, Columbia, South Carolina, 29210. And their webpage, now this is all one word, Carolina Messenger, CarolinaMessenger, CarolinaMessenger.net. And there you can see the articles, both from this publication, earlier publications, and I think you can subscribe from that web page, or at least you'll find the information you need to subscribe and have that coming into your home. You know, it's good to have religious publications coming into the home. I know people often subscribe to different kinds of magazines, and I know I do. I sometimes subscribe to one and then let that subscription pass and maybe subscribe to another at times. But it's good to have religious material in the home, to have it lying there for you to read when you have a few moments, and for others to see when they come into your home, and for your children to see that in your home and to know that is your interest. And so you may want to subscribe to the Carolina Messenger. But now let's turn back to our regular studies. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson about Amos and how he pled for justice. At the close of our last class, we were reading the devotional reading for this lesson, Proverbs chapter 21, 1 through 17, and I got down to verse 15 when I noticed our time was running out. Let me read both verses 15, 16, and 17 of Proverbs chapter 21. Here it is. It is a joy to the righteous to do justice, but it is a destruction to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall rest in the assembly of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Now, I'm looking at a Sunday school lesson developed by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of November the 6th, 1927. And he has these helps and hints for the teacher. Outwardly, Israel flourished at this time. But these prophecies give us an insight into the intemperance and wickedness of the people, and especially to the rulers and leading men. The following passages give us further ideas of the outward flourishing condition and the internal sins of Israel. I'll read some of these to you. Amos 3 and verse 15. I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith Jehovah. Amos 6, verses 1 through 6. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, to them that are secure in the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel come. Pass ye unto Calne and see, and from thence go ye to Hamath the great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are they better than these kingdoms? Or is their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day, and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that sing idle songs to the sound of the viol, that invent for themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wine in bowls, and anoint themselves with chief oils, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph.